This is a Niche Radio podcast. For more, visit www.nicheradio.co.za.
We are still in the Robertson Wine Valley, and today, specifically on the Sunday, beautiful Sunday here at the Wacky Wine, we are talking to Nina, Woman Empowerment, one of the few female winemakers within the Robertson Wine Valley, and at the beautiful Mont Blanc. They have just redone their beautiful tasting room and everything as well, so yeah, we can't see much. We'll take some pickies later on. And Nina, it's fabulous being here. I would love to hear your story, because I know you're not originally from Robertson. You are originally from
Pretoria.
There we go.
I grew up in Pretoria and always knew I wanted to go study Stellenbosch University. Studied viticulture and winemaking there. And that's where I met my husband.
Okay.
And thanks to that, I'm here at the beautiful Mont Blanc today.
Fantastic. So where did the name originate from?
So Mont Blanc, the farm was bought in 1865 by the Brouage already. Our cellar was built in 1884. So my husband, Alice Brouage, is now sixth generation on the farm. Blois is a small town in the Loire in France, where all the Brouage came from. So we've got this beautiful mountain.
How many heritages then already there on the, how many, sixth generation?
Yes, he's sixth generation on the farm.
Fantastic. You see, it's big heritage that comes with it though.
Exactly.
And tell us, how did it, you know, how long have you been going at it to become or creating your own wines?
So Mont Blanc as a farm, maybe I can show you. We used to be very well known for our muscadelles. This is what the farm used to be very well known for. And then in 1991, my husband's father passed away in an accident. And his grandfather was already 65 years old, retired, already given the farm to his son. And he had to come back and take over the farm again, and then he just said no more bottling. So for 28 years, we didn't bottle any wine. We kept on producing wine, sold it to other people, but it's always been our passion to renovate this building as a tasting room, and then also to actually put our...
How old is this building, by the way?
This building was built in 1947 by Italian prisoners of war that were still here after the Second World War.
Yes, see. And it's still kept here and everything.
So these silos were used to store food for the horses. And so these cribs, when we actually renovated, we tried to keep all the old stuff the same. And these were actually the cribs that the animals actually drank out of.
Tell us about your soils. I mean, what type of soils are you? How many different types of soils?
Okay, let me first tell you why we're doing what we're doing. So for 28 years we didn't bottle. And it was always our passion to relaunch our brand, which we then did about 18 months ago. But in these years that we didn't make that we didn't bottle our own wines, we did supply other people with wines. So we could see which sites were giving the best wines year after year.
Totally.
So when we decided to relaunch the brand, we decided that we're going site-specific. We want to show exactly where the wines come from. So all our wines are single vineyard.
Yes.
We want to express the terroir where it comes from. So our wine style is also not bombarded by wood. We want to show the site and the fruit where it comes from. Anyone can make a heavily wooded wine. We want to show exactly where it comes from. So we've got two different Chardonnays, made exactly the same way, and the only difference in them is the soil.
Okay.
So the one, the Quercumbe Chardonnay, I can actually show you that. We color-coded the wax also with the...
Duval, it's stunning.
So what makes Robertson...
female, like color-coding, I love that.
The Quercumbe Chardonnay is on the limestone soil, and this is what makes Robertson such a special area, is the limestone soil. The only one region that has this in our soil.
I've asked a few people now, where does the limestone come from? I mean, Jacques said it's come from the river, where it comes different soils inside the river. Some people say it was old Afrikaans, they say muurhoope wat hulle gehad het op dele wat hulle dink en beweer. I'm not sure. What do you think? I don't know.
That question you should ask Arons, actually. He does the farming.
So Arons is her husband, by the way.
He does the farming. I do the winemaking. But I'm actually not sure. But my mother is Kalk Kola. So I would say, if I show you, the majority of the soil here is red Karoo clay soil.
Yes.
That's what it basically looks like. And then
the limestone is the special part.
Okay.
It's called Paula.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm actually not that sure. All I know is that our soil is very special. So what we did is we've got two different Chardonnays on the different soils. These blocks are probably about 400 meters from each other.
If you look on Google Earth at our farm, you can actually see the white spots.
Serious?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we've even got chalk in our soil. So the difference is chalk is a soft kind of... So the roots can actually grow through chalk.
Yes.
And what that means is that naturally we have high acid, low pH in our wine, longevity in the wine. We've got lovely minerality in the wine. And the wine just aged beautifully. So
that's great. And tell us... What type of styles of wine do you do? I mean, I know Chardonnay is predominantly in our area.
Yes.
But you've got a beautiful Chenin here as well.
Yes. So we do the two Chardonnays exactly because we want to show the difference in soil. You've got everything else the same. Same winemaker, same cultivar, same clone, same picking, same everything, same bottling date, how the wine differs. But yes, we've got a lovely Chenin, the Christian. This was the first block of Chenin Blanc that we planted on the farm.
You see. How old is it?
It's 32 years old now.
Sure.
When this wine was bottled.
Does it improve with age, a Chenin?
Yes, in my opinion. Mm. So Chardonnay doesn't really make a difference. So Chardonnay vines get virus very easily. So, you really get a Chardonnay block older than 20 years old. Mm. But for me, for Chenin, old wine Chenin, it almost just adds a different level of complexity to the wine, which for me is amazing.
What makes it a bit different? Like, compare it to a Chardonnay, what makes it different?
Chenin is so versatile, you can do anything with Chenin.
I mean, they do a lot of like brandies and everything with it as well.
Yes, so, I mean, from brandy-based wine to sparkling wine to sweet wine to just normal wine, even just normal wine, you can oak it, you can... put it in a barrel, you can do it un-oaked, there's just so much you can do with Chenin, and Chenin is almost like a chameleon, it's got so many different personalities, so somewhere you're going to find a style that someone's going to like.
Yes.
So, and I think that's why Chenin is such an amazing cultivar in South Africa, because somewhere you're going to find a Chenin that you like.
But quality Chenin, what is the difference between quality, and then you get obviously a big bulk Chenin as well in our country?
Yes. So I think Chenin's the most planted cultivar, white cultivar in our country, and it depends on the tonnages. How you look after your vineyard, first of all, the quality that you get. If your vineyard's going to carry 60 tons a hectare, then you are going to make not such a high quality wine. Yes, those wines are perfect for a hot summer's day. Put some ice in it.
Yeah.
Yum. But so it depends on what style of wine you want to make. Mm. And I think that's the beauty. You can make that style, or you can make a 1,000 rand bottle of wine,
30.
Which is high quality, which can compete with any French wine, any wine in the world.
Mm. Overseas, planted Chenin?
Yes, so I mean, in the Loire Valley, that's where Chenin comes from. They make the most amazing Chenins. Mm. I love a Vouvray. It's kind of inspired by that.
Yeah, so. But very versatile.
Yes, Chenin, especially in South Africa, I think because we've got so many different soils, so many different climates, it's planted everywhere. Mm. So I think it's actually in South Africa that it's reaching that chameleon status of we're finally seeing what it can do everywhere.
Mm.
So,
okay, fantastic. And tell us about your reds. I mean, you've got interesting reds here as well.
So I tried to make red from, we've got this block of Merlot that's just here. It's just not planted in the right place. I tried to make good wine from it, but it didn't happen. And every year I would make from all the different wines. And what turned out best was the Cabernet, our Petit Verdot, and the Pinotage. So, yeah, we've got... this is the only blended wine. It's not single vineyard.
Yes.
So this actually... We've got three farms, and this comes from two blocks of Cabernet, one from our cooler farm, which kind of gives the eucalyptus and pencil shavings to the wine, and our warmer farm, I would say, gives a bit of cassis to the wine.
Yes.
And then it's got about 20% Petit Verdot in it as well, which for me, when I actually did the blend, everything is kept in its own barrels.
Yes.
And when I tasted everything, I just decided, you know what, blended, it made a better wine than being separate.
Mm. I really love your wine. I love this bottle specifically. Because it's not as hectic on the palate as a Cab, which is always a very strong type of wine, you know, and lots of tannin. It actually sort of damps the tannin, I find.
I like to think that I make wine as old school as possible and old world style. So I don't heavily extract them. I like elegance in wine. And yes, so that's what I try to do with my wines, is not
so you can taste it.
Over extract them. More delicate, more.
We were talking about it earlier. I mean, Nina, believe it or not, has already got, is going for a third baby through the process.
A girl, by the way.
Oh, it's a girl. Congrats.
Another girl.
But tell us, what I find interesting is how you went through your process of pregnancy and how tastes were different and tasting wine, because I know women's palates are much more, I think, very precise than men, if I can say that a little bit in brackets.
I don't know if it's a woman or man thing. I'm not sure. But I know when I'm pregnant, my senses are, especially the first 12 weeks, it was, yes.
All over the show.
All over the show. So I didn't drink anything for the first 12 weeks, but I did have to taste. We had two blend wines. I did have to taste and spit wine. And nothing tasted right. Acid stands out. Alcohol stands out. Wines just don't taste in balance. So I didn't trust myself tasting wines and making an opinion about
could you wine. Could you then judge it from wines that you didn't, that you made without being pregnant? You can see the diversity in the wine?
No. So there are wines in the bottle that I had to blend whilst being pregnant. It's part of my job. And I've been too scared to taste them again. They are either going to be very good, or they're going to be terrible. We're not going to launch this vintage. So I don't know. They're in bottle. We're going to wait for it. When I'm not pregnant, I'll make that call. But I had to make the call. So I kind of, your sense of smell was also very heightened at that stage. So I kind of, I trusted that. Or, went with my gut feeling about that.
Yeah.
That's usually how I make wine.
Okay.
I love cooking as well. So for me, it's always about finding balance, and wine is experience, so yeah, food and wine goes together for me, and so let's hope I made the record.
Awesome. So, a bit of personal question, I would say, being a woman in the wine industry, how has that been for you? How did that open your eyes? What's been your challenges, if I can ask?
I've always been treated very well as a woman in the wine industry. I've never had actually a problem. I must say. So in the beginning, you think because physically, you can't do everything a man does in the cellar. So, and I think a lot of women actually try to overcompensate that. They try to make up for that. But I don't know. Maybe I've been very lucky, but I've never been felt that I've been, what's the word?
Discriminated
for being a woman. Or the other way around, that I've been, because I'm a woman, that I've been given special treatment. Mm. So,
but ratio in South Africa specifically, where we at, how many women compete to men? Like 2 out of 10 is women?
They're actually quite a few. So when we studied at Stellenbosch University, we actually, I think we were about 40-60% women in the class, but not everyone actually went on to make wine.
Sure, girl.
No, so they, I don't think there's that many women. I'm not exactly sure how, but it could be 20-80%. But I'm not actually sure exactly what those things are.
But do you keep in touch with other women within the industry?
Yes, I must say. There are quite a few women in wine initiatives, and try to support each other, and
So, but Robertson, I don't know of as much women that's making wine as men. It's basically Van Lufren, which
Danelle
is
there.
Danelle is there. You are here.
How many? CERN has a female wine. Then at Kleinigs Kloof.
And then you go over to Rawsonville. There's quite a few women that's making wine.
Ivy Detoy, Mariette,
Narvida.
So, no, that's actually quite a few.
Yeah, it's good to know.
It's quite a few
on the go.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, and then if you're not making wine, what else are you doing? Besides cooking.
I love running.
Oh, yes, you did your half marathons and everything. Oh, no, you did your Ironman.
Yes, so last year I had a pretty big year. I did. I must just remember what I all did last year, but I did, my husband and I did the Absa Cape Epic together, then did the Ironman, then I did Comrades, and then I still did UTCT as well, so, which was pretty amazing,
That's quite intense.
Yeah.
And then you felt pregnant as well.
And then I felt pregnant, and yes, I even did Two Oceans 20 Weeks Pregnant the other day.
Jeez, that's quite odd.
Yeah, keeping me busy. You know, that's, you know, exercise is where my mind switches off.
Yeah.
It's actually where I recharge, where, so I love that, yeah. Yeah. I love doing running alone, just me and my music, and that's where my head.
I think people are sometimes very, they're like reluctant to test their limits, don't you think?
But that's me, sports and what I, where you, really, you kind of learn where your limits are. I apply that to the rest of my life as well.
It gives you the self-discipline as well.
Exactly. It gives you self-discipline to work for something, to work hard for something, to achieve something. I think it kind of washes over into your life as well. What your work is like, you know, determination. And wanting something, having a goal, working for something, working hard for it and reaching it. That's pretty gratifying.
I still believe about it. I mean, I'm solidly convinced that I would always initiate for a child or whoever wants to do sport is to do sport. Because I also learned a lot like that through sport to get that discipline, to know where you want, especially if you've got your own business.
Exactly.
That's continuously never giving up. It's the same thing with sport.
People always ask me, where do you get the time to do all of that?
No.
And I actually find the more I have to do, the more I do.
You can do.
So exactly. It's you just become more productive. It's, because I train and exercise a lot, I've got more energy. I've got, I don't know. I think that the two of them help each other. So.
Okay, awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that team was supposed to, it's Comrades Today.
No, I actually did have a look at that.
I actually messed up over today.
Was it such a great race?
Yes, it's an amazing race.
What's been, of all those highlights, all those that you've done last year, what is the one thing that stood out a lot for you?
I can't say. Epic is epic, because epic is for 8 days that you have to look after your body. You can't not concentrate for one moment, because then you fall yourself into the hospital.
No, that's insane.
Epic is amazing. And then Comrades, I've never hurt so much in my life.
And you cramp a lot.
No, it's just your knees, with downrun, and your ankles, it's just, it hurts, you know. But it's such an amazing race. It's the whole, everyone is just whatever gets you over the line. Everyone is just, it's camaraderie to the T. And everyone next to the road, you can see that they don't even have money, but they're standing there with their salt, offering you salt. They just want to be part of it, help you get over the line. It's absolutely amazing.
You know, how old is that race?
I think it's close to being 100. I think 2 years' time it's 100.
Yeah. So it's an incredible race. It's one of the most well-known races in the world, I think.
Exactly. But I almost want to say it's everything that I do kind of leads to the next one. So if it wasn't for my first Ironman, that was the first big thing I did. And I mean, I cried when I finished that race. If it wasn't for that, no, if it wasn't for labor, let's say labor, 25 hours of labor was, you know,
nothing.
I've done 5 hours of labor, I can do this. Then it's like, oh, I've done Ironman, I can do this. You know, it's like, oh, I've done a Comrades, I can do this. You know, it's for me, it's all in the mind.
Okay.
Obviously, you have to get your body ready and all that, but if you do the training right, the rest is all in mind.
Awesome. You have any brothers and sisters?
I do. I've got two older sisters and a younger brother.
Okay. And you were telling me earlier about who enjoys cooking?
Oh, yes. My brother and his husband, they do amazing food. Family dinners, Christmas.
Where are they based?
They live in Joburg.
Okay.
They've got other jobs. But that's actually what they love doing. So
you were telling me you're going to start doing dinners here?
Yes. So what we want to do is place is food and wine evenings, maybe get a chef in once a month. Do pairings, educate people about wine, people can ask any questions.
How can people get hold of you guys?
Email, Instagram.
Only on Instagram, big, yeah.
I love Instagram.
Yeah.
I love Instagram.
Visual.
I love photos. I think I've got 59,000 photos on my phone. Let me check that later. So yes, I love photos, I love Instagram, that's my favorite.
Yeah.
I don't have time for Twitter these days, but they can get hold of me.
Instagram,
phone,
this is
WhatsApp. Mont Blanc.
Okay.
Or myself as well.
And then you're advertising it when your dinners are taking place and things like that.
So I want to start a wine club as well, where I kind of get this message out to people as well. So all in good time.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I'm loving having a new office space. And
it's beautiful. So tell us about the space. How long did it take to make all of this? How did it start? What's the curation about it? Who you worked with?
Okay, so I've always been doing tastings from our house, which was actually built in 1903, so it's also old Cape Dutch home. And I've been doing it from my stoop. And
But I needed a space to come work at, because
people often come to Robertson for the weekend and they want to do a wine tasting on the weekend. I don't mind. But then it's on a Friday afternoon, 6 o'clock, and people are still there. And then my husband wants to light a fire. You know, it's weekend for him as well. And then the problem is my husband starts actually mingling and socializing with these people. And then I kind of want to end off my week. Yeah. And they carry on until 10 o'clock. And it's like, yeah, I need a place where I can actually go work, where I can shut down. You know, it's not part of my
closing persona. The door. It's that whole thing.
So, I mean, this beautiful building has been here. And it's been our dream.
It's really stunning.
We've had so many offers of people, oh, please, can we just renovate it for you? And, you know what? On a farm, there's just always something better to invest money in. So, first there was a dam, then it's upgrading the vineyards. And so it took us, I've been on the farm 11 years now. It took us quite a while to get here.
What I do love about your place is you didn't take away any of the structure, which is stunning, because it gives you a bit of that history around the building.
Yes. So we didn't paint anything of the outside walls.
No.
There was owls living in here. Everything stayed the same. So we didn't want to. It was perfect as it is. All the rusty plates we left the same. So a friend of mine that we used, she's amazing, Gera de Wet. So she did all the design.
Behind the Wet's wife, by the way.
So she did all the design, and we kind of gave her free roam to do what she wanted. Here and there she would check in with us, is this fine, or, you know. But she was amazing we told her what we wanted, keeping it old and rustic, yet inside making it warm and cozy and a little bit modern.
Yes.
So, and I think she hit the spot.
Okay, how long did it take?
So we started, I think, in about October last year.
Yes.
And then, I mean, builders, they started. So we didn't build anything new. We basically just opened up. We actually just broke a few.
So this is all the same structures as what has been. Just this year opened up.
Yes. And so the silos, we basically opened up the space. And the cribs that now are the seats is where the animals actually used to drink out of.
That's stunning.
Even in the bathroom, the cribs is now where the basins are.
That's beautiful.
So no, we actually just opened up the spaces. We didn't build anything. The only thing was built was actually the stoop outside.
Yeah.
So,
and you've got an incredible view of the Langeberg Mountains.
This area, people that doesn't look like the rest of Robertson.
No, it doesn't.
So this is nestled. Wine-wise, this is an award. You call it the Whipsnerfee Award. And we've got a complete different climate than the rest of Robertson. So according to weather data, we are about 3 degrees cooler than the rest of Robertson, which is only 6 kilometers away.
Which is actually good for wines, eh?
It is. But it's also more humid here. So we have an extra spray here compared to our other farm, which is much more. Yeah. So we get snow here about 4 or 5 times a year.
Where do you have your muscadel mostly? Is it planted here or on the other side?
Okay, so we actually have two muscadels. One comes from our warmer farm. That's our pulp-based muscadel. This is a pulp-based muscadel. So this one's on our warmer farm. This one is your peaches, your apricots, your florals.
Oh, sorry, come.
Creme brulee.
We have to introduce you quickly. Sorry.
No, go for it.
You camera shy, so that's why.
So just come and put your head here and then also say, this is
Aaron,
this is Nina's lovely husband.
Hello.
And Aaron, you are mostly involved with the vineyards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you also grew up here, or went to school in
Paul?
In
Stellenbosch.
Okay.
So, I don't know what Tina Marie told you, but my father passed away in 1991. Mm-hmm. So then my mom married again, and we moved to Melkbosstrand.
Okay.
So I went to primary school in Melkbosstrand.
Okay.
Van Riebeekstrand Primary School. And then, I went to Stellenbosch to Paul Roos High School. And I came to the farm during the holidays.
Okay.
And that's why.
Yeah, but your main focus is in the vineyards.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. In the beginning, I tried to make the red wine and be in the vineyards. That didn't work so well. So now I'm in the vineyards.
He runs the farm.
So that's where my whole passion
is. I love it. The wife power team. I love that.
And he does the vineyards, he does all the he makes sure I get good quality in the cellar.
Yeah.
So
you picky, you go and tell him what you want.
The thing is, like, he said, if I ever get picky or he's just going to give me bad grapes, then I can't make good wine. You can't make good wine with bad grapes. So, he basically gives me good grapes and I must just not mess it up in the cellar.
Well, that's a good deal.
It is a good deal.
It's fair.
Okay.
And you're proud of your wife putting this beautiful
stuff together? Yeah, definitely. And it is, nice. I mean, definitely. I mean, this is our passion. I mean, doing this whole tasting room, I mean, it's always been since a young kid. It was a dream that we wanted to do. And and when the time was right, we were able to do it. We did it. And with the wine as well, I mean, we said we want to sit on our porch and drink our own wine and be proud of the quality and good wine, and then we'll be happy. And I think it went a bit further than that now. We're really, really happy. And
Where can people find your wine?
So that you must ask him.
But I think what I really find special about your wines, it's been wines that's been coming for generations and generations, and your wife is converting these hectares that's been here for years and making something special together.
That's really the thing. Special. Like you said, it's a team effort. It's not just me. I'm just the last part of the. I just have to make sure that it actually gets into the bottle and it gets sold. It's even the guys pruning our vineyards, giving water in the vineyards. Everyone has a part to play in what we finally. And so that's why the Muscadel is actually quite special for us, because that's our heritage and that's what our brand is about. It's about heritage. It's about family. About passing on that recipe for all the generations. So that's why Muscadel was, when we relaunched, we decided to do the Muscadel. That was very important to us. But us being the new generation, we added the new single vineyard wines. So that's kind of bringing in the new life and taking it forward. And then our girls have to do it afterwards.
Great stuff. Thank you very much. I really enjoyed this interview. And I know you just came in.
I've
been hoping you did, by the way. You were perfect timing.
And with you know, English first language.
No, speaking is very delicious. And you know, best of luck. We'll definitely come and support you. I bought some wine for my tasting for all my come travel with us. It's coming down in August, and we're gonna enjoy it. And we are looking out for your tastings and your dinners, and we'll definitely come and join you.
Please come visit again.
Fabulous. Awesome. Thank you to you all, and we'll see you soon.
Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or log into www.nicheradio.co.za.